This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. The youngest in Charles and L. Willingham will take you up to 10 to 15. Caps Hockey coming up after we're done on the air with you. A lot more to get to in about 40 minutes. About David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the moves thus far in the offseason for the Burgundy and Gold. They've been active. They've gotten a lot better offensively, in my opinion. Their depth has improved on the defensive line and on defense. Still a couple of holes to fill, but let's just be real about that, right? The roster that Adam Peters and Lance Newmark and Dan Quinn inherited from Ron Rivera was god-awful. So, yes, there are a litany of holes on this football team. No. It's not going to take two off seasons to fill all of them, but I think they're closer to having no holes than they were when the offseason started. And here's the other thing. Philadelphia, damn, Ben, help me out here. Philadelphia is probably the only holeless roster in the NFL. And they worked for years to get it that way. I think what you saw last year in Buffalo with Josh Allen, they tried to gut that roster to reset their books financially. When you have a quarterback that is in the ilk of Josh Allen and Jayden Daniels, they do a really good job masking your deficiencies elsewhere across the football team. And I think that's what we're going to see here this year and what their hope is for Daniels this year in Washington.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the situation with Philadelphia, I think I brought this up the last time I was here with you a week or two ago or whatever. They had 22 guys on the roster that were drafted within the past 2 to 3 seasons or whatever it was. And that's a big thing with building a great football team. You get young by drafting blue chip players. They're going to be part of your football franchise for years to come. Now, because Washington has traded a significant portion of the draft capital, I'm not sure what that means come draft day, given I think it's 5 picks now, something like that. And Adam Peters said he was going to prioritize building this team through the draft and supplementing through free agency. So I'm really interested to see if there's going to be a trade back to get more draft capital in this upcoming draft. Or maybe Adam Peters, who's supposed to be, you know, big talent evaluator guy, did so in New England with Denver, San Francisco. maybe he doesn't really think this draft is as deep as he thought initially.
Some more Commanders breaking news.
Oh, wow.
Another outside free agent brought in, depth piece, Jacob Martin, 29 years old, another 29-year-old guy brought in. 29 years old, formerly of the Chicago Bears, 6'2", 242-pound edge rusher, some depth on the perimeter, or excuse me, along the defensive line for Washington. Last year, pass rush grade of 67 via PFF. Pass rush grade of 71.5 in 2023. Just three sacks this past year, so not a guy that's ever had a ton of production as a pass rusher, but 2021, he had four sacks. 2020, three sacks. So a guy that's flirted with three, four sacks every year for his career. Another depth piece for Washington, but we wanted to get to that news. This is according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, so Washington getting some more help along their defensive line. I expected it. Still doesn't prevent them from drafting anybody. I don't think this situation along your defensive line, if you're Washington, like, they've added more bodies to the room. Dante Fowler's probably not coming back. Cleveland Farrell's probably not coming back. You added Dietrich Wise yesterday. I think Dietrich Wise is a sneaky signing. I think Dietrich Wise, in a pinch, could be your starting defensive end opposite Dorrance Armstrong. I don't think that's the ideal set of circumstances, obviously, but I could very much see that being the case. Here's the other thing about defensive end. One, I don't know for sure that they're out of the Trey Hendrickson sweepstakes. I wouldn't be. If you're gonna trade away all this draft capital, I mean, hashtag F them picks, word to Les Snead. So, but no, they brought in another depth piece. They're forming out a decent room up front. Javon Kinlaw, Dorrance Armstrong, Johnny Newton, Daron Payne, Dietrich Wise, right? I think they bring back Jalen Holmes potentially. Shelton Day was brought back. Like, they're starting to build out their defensive line room. And I just like the way that they've gone about it. I've long said that you got to treat free agency like the draft doesn't exist. You must treat free agency like the draft doesn't exist. I think Washington's doing that right now with some of the signings that they've made. Albeit depth guys that will compete for jobs on the roster, the room's got more bodies, right? I think what it's doing is setting you up to go BPA in the draft. That's what I hope these ancillary moves are doing, so that you don't feel the need to reach for a guy or take a guy if he's not high on your board. And I like that thought process from Washington, if that is what their thought process is. I just feel like, to me, Dietrich Wise is fine. I still don't have the difference maker at edge that I thought I would acquire this offseason. It's tough to get a difference maker, though, at edge, man. They don't grow on trees. Like, right? That's the big thing. That's the big thing that I will continue to say. And I hope we all get that. They do not grow on trees. 100% they don't. But if you are Washington, you got to have a plan at that spot. You got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. I think they do have a plan. Is it a good one? Still to be seen. But I trust them, right? It was my old saying. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. I'm okay with everything they've done at this point. I'm okay with everything they've done at this point. I think you got to be. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. The Commanders add some depth. They bring in career journeyman Jacob Martin, who spent last year in Chicago with the Bears. He's been in Denver, Indianapolis, the Jets, Houston, Seattle, former Temple Owl. I wonder if a guy, Zach Gelb, knows Jacob Martin. Zach Gelb, former Temple Owl, does 3-6 on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, man, they haven't done anything to knock my socks off yet to this point at the edge rusher spot. They haven't. That's okay, though, right? That's okay. There's still a lot of time left, right? There's still a lot of time left between now and the start of camp. So there is plenty of time and plenty of opportunity for them to get better. I just know we're an impatient group of people. I get it, right? But to quote my guy Craig Hoffman, you can't grade the test before the test is finished. So you can't look at Washington's offseason on March the 13th and give them a pass or a fail. It's just not how you do that. So I think, to me, I know I'm underwhelmed. I know I've been underwhelmed at defensive end. And that's just me being open, honest, and transparent. Not poo-pooing on what they've done. It's just underwhelming in terms of what I think they needed. Now, here's the thing. Maybe it's a situation where if you're Washington, you don't need a guy that's going to go get you 15, 16 sacks. I think the more important need at defensive end is just set the damn edge. Force things back inside. Here's the other thing. You brought back Bobby Wagner. People were thrilled about that. I was too. You needed to do it. Bobby Wagner looks a hell of a lot better going sideline to sideline if he doesn't have to actually travel sideline to sideline. You know how that happens? This is football X's and O's for dummies. If your damn defensive end does his job and sets the edge and forces plays back inside, Bobby Wagner doesn't have to travel as far. That's Little League football. So that, to me, is the important thing about the defensive end spot this offseason.
If you're upset with potentially not bringing back Dante Fowler in free agency here and the departure of Jeremy Chinn, go back to the NFC Championship game and watch the Eagles' first play from scrimmage. And that'll tell you why Adam Peters probably isn't interested in bringing back Fowler despite having 10 sacks last year.
Yeah. Well put. You segued us perfectly, because we'll get into that as we roll throughout the show here. 1-800-636-1067. John is in Fort Washington. Wants to chime in. What's going on, John?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I think what Adam Peters has done is, on the defensive line, he got bigger. Even though we still need that D-end, that rusher. But if you look at, like, where we're drafting at, I don't think we need to get Hendricks anymore. I think one of those guys, the guy from Boston College, or the wide receiver from Ohio State, like, one of those players are going to be there at 29. So I think he's just looking at, like you said, best player available. And I wouldn't mind if they go out and get I can't remember the guy's name that played at Detroit that came from Cleveland, that DN, you know, for the pass
rush.
Come on,
Darius Smith.
But I wouldn't bring – yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bring back Flowers. I mean, he has one, you know, he's one trick pony, and that really ain't going to help us. We need somebody that can set the edge, as you said, and funnel everything back inside to Bobby Wagner. And with Louisville, you know, he can generate a pass rush as well.
Well, that's the other thing, too, John. That's the other thing, John. If you get another linebacker, maybe Louisville is able to be used as a more traditional rusher.
What about, I saw somewhere where they were talking about getting a guy from Alabama and trying to, you know,
Jahad Campbell's not going to be there at 29. He's too damn good. But he's somebody that would allow you to get creative up front with some of the pieces in your front seven. Because he is a do-it-all linebacker. Can cover, can rush, physical.
Yeah.
You know how Alabama does with linebackers, man. It's a factor.
What about the kid from Kentucky, that cornerback who ran like a 4.3 or whatever like that?
So Maxwell,
that'd be a good pickup as well.
Maxwell Hairston's interesting. I just think at this point, at 29, I don't know if I'd take Maxwell Hairston. I mean, I like the depth that you have at corner. I think there are more pressing needs. But as we saw and learned earlier, they were in on giving a big time or potentially in on giving a big-time deal to DJ Reed, but obviously the deal that he got from Detroit was more significant financially. So how much money are they willing, how much resources are they really willing to spend at corner right now based off what they already got? So it's going to be interesting. John, I appreciate you chiming in as always, my man.
Let me ask you one more quick question. Did anyone sign Asante Samuels yet?
So he just
What do you think about him?
He just visited. God, where did I see him visit earlier today? I think it was Pittsburgh. He went and visited today. So he's still a free agent.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it, man.
As always, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, continue to talk all things Commander free agency. They've been active today, adding some outside of the organization pieces, but they did lose a few. When we come back, I'll tell you whose loss will ultimately be felt the most. It's next on The Fan.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, our pal David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, going to join us right here on The Fan. Get his thoughts on the activity of the Commanders here to start the offseason. Today, another busy day. Look, some people are going to say, oh, they weren't busy. They just were re-signing guys. And they brought in some depth. It's what good teams do, ladies and gentlemen. Washington continuing to make moves today. I feel a lot better about their depth at certain spots after today than I felt heading into today. Like the wide receiver room, I think you're a piece or two away from that room being set. Along the offensive line, I think you're a piece or two away from that room being set. You're set at tight end. Running back, you're a piece away from being set. So I'm excited to see what happens here. It hadn't been all positive, though, I guess, for the Commanders here in free agency. They've lost some guys. They have lost some guys. But I just think they're in a good spot. A couple of guys they lost, though, you may feel their impact during the regular season. And of the guys that they lost, Olamide Zaccheaus lost to another team. Cornelius Lucas lost to another team. De'Ami Brown lost to another team. Jeremy Chinn lost to another team. Of the guys that I just listed, in terms of Derek Forrest lost to another team. I'm sorry, I forgot all about him. Benjamin St. Juice, no, you guys don't care about that. But, you know, they've lost some guys. Jonathan Allen lost to another team. So, in terms of whose impact is going to be felt the most, to me, when it comes to the Commanders' defense, it's tough for me. Part of me looks at Cornelius Lucas and goes, man, for years, Ron Rivera did a lot of stupid things while here in Washington. Right? I think we can all agree on that. Ron Rivera did a lot of stupid things while here in Washington. But the one thing, well, one of the few things that he did well last year or while he was in Washington was bringing in Cornelius Lucas. And I think he has been a steady Eddie for you at your swing tackle spot. So if you have some attrition up front along your offensive line, you may ultimately end up filling that. But the guy that I really look at and go, damn, I didn't want to lose him, is Jeremy Chinn. He played 94% of your snaps last year. He had 107 tackles. He had 6 pass breakups. I mean, he played really, really well last year. And I think when you talk about what it is to be a Commander, I continue to feel like Jeremy Chinn checked every single box, yet they lost him to the Vegas Raiders on a 2-year deal. What was it? $8 million a year is what he ended up getting. Washington's paying John Bates $7 million a year. I know that has nothing to do with each position, but you pick up what I'm putting down. They bring in Will Harris to replace Jeremy Chinn, and we'll get to Will Harris in a second, but like Jeremy Chinn last year was pretty damn good for you, man. Now, he struggled to start the season, as did a couple of members of this defense because they didn't play in the preseason, but I thought overall he's really solid for you, man. They don't grow 6'4", 220-pound safeties on trees that can go get you 100 tackles in a season. He was 12th in the NFL amongst all safeties in terms of solo tackles. So, like, Jordy could play, man. Like, I don't want to minimize that. He was 6th in run stops amongst safeties. Like, I don't want to diminish what he did at all here. It's tough, man. I think they feel that loss the most, honestly. Like, Will Harris was brought in here, and he's a guy that has some versatility. He's played nickel. He's played as your deep post safety. He's physical enough to play in the box. Like, he's a cheaper option. But does he have more upside than Jeremy Chinn, who was 27 years old and I thought was going to be here for the next 3 to 5 seasons? Will Harris ain't no Jeremy Chinn, is what I would say.
I feel like the Chinn departure is just another example of why people might as well just stop speculating what this Commander's front office is going to do. All the reports prior to free agency, before the legal tampering period, was that Washington was going to work the hardest to keep Chinn within the organization, even more than a guy like Bobby Wagner. Wagner ended up being the first guy re-signed, I believe, and Chinn ends up being one of the guys that departs, despite most of the fan base and most of the members of the media assuming he'd be one of the key guys that they have to get back, and they will make sure they get back. That wasn't the case.
And to hear, I don't know if you knew this, if you saw this, Ben, they were in on Javon Holland. So
I did see that.
When those discussions began, I don't know. Maybe Jeremy Chinn gave him a crazy-ass number. That's what I'm thinking.
The Javon Holland, the video of him where they were asking him what he was looking for in the organization. He lists the Washington Commanders, everything about it, and then he signed with the complete opposite of the Washington Commanders. So I'll say that.
New York's stupid. For I'll just be real with you. It makes, if I was a Giants fan.
Well, Linnell, I'll say one thing about NFL free agency. I don't understand the thinking with some of these teams that have a hole at almost every position on the roster, and they just throw the bag at one player and think that that's going to improve their team by 5 to 6 wins. That's not how it works. You don't build teams like that. And I almost laugh when I see teams doing that because we used to do crap like that all the time.
That's the irony. We did used to do stupid things like that. And by the way, Asante Samuel visited the Cardinals earlier today. There was a caller earlier that asked about him. He visited with Arizona earlier today. Will Harris, I like the physicality he plays with. Seems like he could ultimately end up being better in coverage. But I just, for a secondary that, or for a defense that I think needs continuity, letting him go, it does the exact opposite. I'm not going to act like it's a super alarming thing, but if we're asking the question of like whose loss will be felt the most, I think no doubt it is Jeremy Chinn. New Commander safety Will Harris actually spoke today. We'll get to him on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. This is The Fan. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, our pal David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, going to join us. We get his thoughts on the moves that Washington's made here to start the offseason. I look over my shoulder to the left, Ben, and I see a big-time Wizard. Well, I say that, then the Pistons hit a three. Wizards up 10, 77-67, 9:40 in counting left to go in the third quarter. I'm quickly efforting to pull out the box score here so we can tell you who's going Kanye crazy tonight. Your usual suspects. Jordan Poole, the high man for the Wizards. He's got 14 on 3-of-9, shooting 3-of-8 from beyond the arc. Chris Middleton with 12 as well. And then Corey Kispert and Marcus Smart, 10 and 12 points apiece off the pine for the Wizards. For Detroit, everybody's in single-digit scoring, or in single figures, rather, except for Cade Cunningham. 6-of-16, 19 points for Cade. We talked about him at the start of the show. Just a dog. We'll see if the Wizards can hold this 11-point lead that they currently have. Right now, though, I want to let you hear from new Commander safety Will Harris. The thought of, the presumptive replacement for Commander's former Commander safety Jeremy Chinn, he had this to say about why he wanted to come to Washington.
My agent told me, that Washington was calling. And as soon as he told me that, man, I said, well, you handle that. You know, you handle that on your side, but, you know, you let me know when it's a green light. Because as soon as it's a green light, we making it happen. And that's exactly how it went, man.
Will Harris sounding like someone that wanted to be here. Washington, he obviously got an up-close and personal look at the Commanders earlier this season. So he knows about the old guy under center, Mr. Jayden Daniels. Will Harris had this to say about JD5 and what he's been able to accomplish to this point.
There's not too much you can't say about the kid, man. I mean, he's all that and more, man. Such a talented dude, man. And then you combine that with, with his maturity and his knowledge of the game, and his IQ, to be a young player, man, it's incredible. So, I'm looking forward to be able to, try to help him out as much as possible, and come in here and, gain the respect from, from these guys and go out and make plays.
Will Harris today said all the right things in his introductory press conference. I think the guy seems like a class act. There's some familiarity there. I think he was drafted by Lance Newmark in Detroit. So Washington obviously has some familiarity with him. They know him. Obviously played with Marshawn Lattimore in New Orleans, so I'm sure, Marshawn potentially vouched for Adam Peters and company to bring him in. That's another underrated piece of this, right? Something that was kind of an issue last year was the communication between Lattimore and whatever safety was on his side. Maybe that's because he didn't get to practice with him or play with him a whole lot. You insert Will Harris, I think those communication issues subside. Will Harris's partner at the safety spot, Quan Martin, I think he's in for a big-time season this year. He was pretty damn good last year. Another one of Ron Rivera's accidental good picks was Quan Martin. I think Washington, there was a graphic that I tweeted out yesterday about Quan Martin, and it kind of showed where he stands amongst the top guys in the NFL. To me, man, I think he's just one of those guys that understands it. Physical guy, a commander, good range, good ball skills, can run, as you saw on the pick six that he scored in the divisional round against Detroit. But I think Washington's safety spot is in an interesting spot because I don't know. I don't want to say this and then be shunned for it. I wasn't the biggest fan of Percy Butler last year. I think he plays hard. I don't think he can tackle worth a damn. I think he's a liability at times in coverage, not knowing his assignment all the time. I need to upgrade my third safety. But they may go safety in the draft. That's another thing. I don't think they're done with that position group. I always wonder, how would Jeremy Reeves look on the actual defense relative to just being delegated to special teams? Because we know he could tackle. Imagine him being the box safety. I know he ain't ducking no smoke coming downhill, so it'll be interesting. Ben just told us, though, or just told me in my ear. For whatever reason, whenever you were saying that in my ear, I thought you were saying it out loud. That's just because I'm just a dirty mess right now. We're getting late in the show. Long day for your boy. Taylor Heinicke, a guy that ruined my reputation when it came to quarterback takes early in my sports radio career. He re-ups on a one-year extension in L.A. worth $6.2 million. Isn't he just like the ultimate Harbaugh quarterback?
Not to sack yourself here, but can you explain what you mean by he ruined your quarterback takes? I wasn't around for that.
I was the leader of the Heinicke Hive.
Well, I mean, you also were the leader.
I wanted him to start over Ryan Fitzpatrick. I wanted him to start over Fitzpatrick. And I thought it was, to me, though, let me say this. I was a leader of the Heinicke Hive. I was the first guy to get off of Taylor, though, too. Because it was very obvious he had physical limitations.
That's fair.
So
that's very fair. Had no arm.
Yeah.
You were also the leader of the, maybe we should bring back Chase Young brigade and then also.
See how much money he got paid?
I can't believe it. I honestly could not believe
that. Why? He's a 26-year-old pass rusher with a litany of upside.
I can't fathom that kind of money for Chase Young after the production he's had. I know the pressures.
Dude, he
we're
was
up
one
at a
of the,
career high.
That's a big. I mean, I don't know.
We'll return to this point
we'll
in
see.
2 years.
We'll
get back to it.
We'll take another quick timeout. David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, joins us next. We'll ask him about some of the moves Washington's made, including does he think the Commanders will feel the loss of Jeremy Chinn? That's next on The Fan. Quick Wizards update for you right here on The Fan. DC family down 83-77, 6:35 and counting left to go in the third quarter. Washington shooting the ball pretty well. Jordan Poole continuing to do Jordan Poole-like things. You're starting to see Alex Sarr get in on it. For all of the talk and concern about Alex Sarr coming out of summer league, the kid at 7'1" can stroke the damn basketball, and we see what type of impact that he's had on defense to start here. Want to see him get strong on the boards, but outside of that, love, love, love what he's brought to the Wizards this year. We'll keep you up to speed on that as the show rolls on here. Right now, I want to go out to the Rude Guest Hotline for the first time this show, where we find our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. You can give him a follow on the old X app at DHarrison82. David, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I also need to tell the people they can catch some of your stuff at WUSA9.com as well. David all over the place giving us everything we need to know about the burgundy and gold. I hate that I put you in this time slot, David, because me and you always have really good organic conversations, and I think your level of thinking is different than most folks that we hear on our D.C. airwaves, so we'll try to make it as tight as possible so I don't get fired for messing up the clock. But I want to start with, let's just go with the offensive line, because I think that to me is my biggest thing that I'm kind of disagreeing with everyone about. Who we'll see, it doesn't matter who's right or wrong, but I just think from a football standpoint, when you acquire Laremy Tunsil, first of all, love that you did it. I don't know if moving, if you had concerns about Brandon Coleman at left tackle, I don't know how much better he would be at right tackle. I like the idea of kicking him inside to guard. Answer that for me, David, and then your overall thoughts about what they have up front right now as we get geared up for the second and third wave of free agency.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything is off the table per se. You know, when they were asked about it at the NFL scouting combine, like there was a very obvious, you know, lack of commitment to he and Mikey Sanders. So being, you know, locked into any one position or any one spot in their, you know, respective groups. But, you know, I didn't take it as a lack of confidence per se. But look, I mean, Brandon Coleman, I mean, I think he did a pretty good job, you know, for a third round rookie left tackle kind of, you know, he wasn't thrown into the fire. They definitely eased him in as much as they basically could. You know, gave him a lot of chip blocking help and then, you know, kept backs in and things like that to help him out and all those things. I think he came along pretty nicely, but you know, look, there's a reason these guys last as long as they do sometimes. You know, he's not a blue chipper. He's not a guy that anybody should have expected to come in year one and just be like, boom, you got a franchise left tackle. And when you're talking about building the team, like, you always look for the opportunity to get better. And I think when you see what Jaden was able to do, like, you know, we've been talking about this all offseason, like, priority number one has to be protecting your franchise quarterback. Like, priority number one for every team is get a franchise quarterback. Once you have him, right, protect him. You know what I mean? So, like, if Brandon Coleman is not a blue chip, top shelf left tackle, which he's not, and that's okay, then you got to go try to find one. You know, when we hear they were in on Stanley, they were in on Moore, and then when those didn't work out, they went out there and they got Laramie. You know what I mean? So, kudos to them for doing so. But I don't think it's a dig at Brandon per se. I think it's just kind of a realization of the fact that it is. As far as moving him into guard, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of projections of him coming in the NFL as a guard. So that certainly fits. You also have the right tackle situation. I mean, you know, switching sides can potentially unlock some things, you know, that you never know. And he continued to take a step and get that experience. And Andrew Wiley, you know, being back will kind of help him have a mentor in the room and help him do all those things. And you give him the opportunity to go out there and grow. And now you kind of look at it, you don't have to necessarily chip on one side versus having to chip on both sides, which they were doing a lot last year. And then it allows Andrew Wiley a potential shift inside to fill in while Sam Cosmi is recovering if he misses a significant part of the season. So overall, I mean, optionality is Adam Peters' favorite word, right? He's giving that optionality to the coaching staff. Like, you know, Bobby Johnson, we talked about this when he was hired, like the New York Giants fan base hated him in 2023 because they were like, dude, what's your starting offensive line? And he basically didn't set it, or, you know, the team didn't set it until like right before the regular season. Well, you know, Commanders fans might get a little bit frustrated at training camp being like, dude, who's your starting five? Like, we see all these different combinations. Look, he's going to have the opportunity to go out there outside of Laramie and Tyler Biadasz and just figure it out. Yeah. Who are the other three guys? What's the best combination? And where are they going to go? And I think it's a lot of fun, to be quite honest with you. But for people who want to know exactly who the starting five is going to be, like, you know, July 27th or whatever day, I don't know that's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think there's a lot of room for competition up front along this offensive line. And we also don't know what other bodies they're going to bring in via the draft. I got a couple of dudes that I really like on the interior that they may bring in later. A big Tate Ratledge guy out of Georgia. He may be gone by the time Washington gets to 61, or they may not feel like it's necessary to take an offensive lineman that high. But to your point, like, that is outside of shoring up your edge rusher spot and stopping the run, I think protecting Jaden Daniels more important, even more important than getting him weapons. And I know that's going to, you know, tick some people off. When you look at the wide receiver room, though, David, I think I'm comfortable. After bringing back Noah Brown today, I think I'm comfortable with the veteran options that they have in the room. I'm now curious to see how they get younger at that position via the draft. And there's no rule that says they've got to take one with their first two picks. I think they'll end up allocating more picks than they currently have, if I know anything about this front office. But how do you currently view wide receiver, and how do you think they've done addressing it this offseason?
I mean, I think bring back Jameson Crowder and you're good. You know what I mean? Like, I think you can call it done. Cooper Kupp is still out there, at least as far as I know. There's so many things going on. Honestly, I haven't checked the wires in a couple of hours, so correct me if I'm wrong there, but I believe Cooper Kupp is still out there. And I wasn't a big fan of trading for him, but if you can get him on the cheap as a free agent, you know what I mean? Like I'm not necessarily against that per se. But, I mean, Terry, Debo, you know, bringing back Noah Brown, been a big advocate of that. Olamide was kind of a guy I was a little bit iffy on just because of, you know, who else they have on the roster. Obviously, Luke McCaffrey's going to have his role as a special teamer, and then we'll see how big of a step he takes forward as a receiver as well. But, yeah, man, I mean, you know, we're still kind of I think KJ Osborne was like the biggest surprise to me just because even after they brought him in, they didn't really use him that much. So But, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, that 2025 can't be different. But I like what they have. If they want to go into the draft with that group and address it, you know, there's still some other guys that are going to become training camp, you know, stars. Bryson Tremaine is a guy that, you know, every training camp seems to make splash plays. And then, unfortunately, we don't hear from him again. But, you know, I like what they've done, ultimately. And like you said, you know, getting Jaden weapons is important, but giving him protection and then giving him a defense on the other side that can keep the score down is even more important, I think. So we saw what he did as a rookie with the weapons that he had. You've only made that group better. So that, you know, that definitely trends the arrow north, I think.
I was a little bummed, Dave, when Jeremy Chinn signed in Las Vegas. I was interested that they were in on Javon Holland but weren't willing to pay Chinn the $8 million per, and we know how much Javon Holland signed for. So your thoughts about them losing Chinn for one, and then how they've chose to address it. And then do you think another body is brought in via the draft?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, I think at the end of the day, if you're going to be responsible in this business, you have to always acknowledge that the people behind the closed doors know more about these guys than we do. You know what I mean? I'm a big fan of Jeremy. I enjoyed getting to know him, getting to talk to him. I know for a fact that he really enjoyed his season in Washington. And even at the end of the season, you know, was very optimistic about coming back. But, you know, Dan Quinn's at the scouting combine. This is where the business side meets the football field. And a guy like Jeremy Chinn, you have that season. You have a lot of people, even when he came out of Carolina, kind of underrated or under, you know, celebrated. A lot of people put that more on the Panthers than they did him. So if that attitude, you know, spreads throughout the NFL, then there's an opportunity for him to go out there and make some good money. You know, if the Commanders don't value either the position or the player as much, you know, which you kind of indicated might be one or the other, then, you know, that's where they got to see it. And as much as I wanted Jeremy Chinn to come back, surely, I'm not going to, you know, nothing about me is ever going to believe that, you know, I think that Adam Peters made a bad decision because he knows Jeremy and all these things a lot better than I do. As far as Will Harris is concerned, you know, I'll admit he wasn't Justin Reed. Like, after some of these guys came off the board, Justin Reed was my top, you know, my preferred quote-unquote target to fill that gap. Will Harris, however, is not, you know, consolation prize by any means. I mean, you turn on the tape of the dude, you look at what he's able to do, you talk to some of the people, even the Saints media only got to cover him for a short period of time, especially with the hamstring. You know, everybody loves this guy and talks about energy. And then the press conference today, just the amount of times he brought up energy, whether it's his own or his teammates, or, you know, mentioned the Commanders coming off the bus, you can feel the energy. I mean, this is a high energy dude, and that's going to be somebody who's a lot of fun to watch play on the field. But yeah, I do think you probably go in the draft to go get a guy. I think, you know, who's the most Will Harris, Jeremy Chinn-ish type of guy in case, you know, one of those, or in case Will goes down. Again, I'd say it's probably Tyler Owens, right? But he dealt with his own injury issues last year. You know, you got Revo, who can certainly, you know, drop the hammer if he needs to, but hasn't gotten a lot of run as a defender specifically. I do think you probably, you know, again, you look at the draft, you don't take it off the board, right? And at the end of the day, if the right type of player is there at the right time and the right attitude, then yeah, you pull the trigger on it and you see what they can do in training camp.
David, I appreciate you giving us some time as always, my man. We'll do it again soon, brother.
Yes, sir.
That is David Harrison. Make sure you check out his work wherever you get your podcast, Locked On Commanders podcast, one of my favorites to tune into. David, very insightful when it comes to the Washington Commanders, and has covered them every step of the way through this offseason. I would say we're about to enter the final hour of Power, but we're rolling with you till 10:15 tonight. An extended edition of Overtime continues on the other side of this break. Caps and Kings. Coming up at 10:15 is when John Walton and Ken Sabrin get you going with the pregame show. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll update you on the DC family. Wizards and Pistons getting close to entering the fourth quarter. Give you a score update on that. Plus, I'll tell you who needs to shut the hell up. Yeah, that's a tease for you. It's next on The Fan.